Chapter 14. The Marine Corps Files a Dissent. Winter 2003-4. In the winter of 2003-4, the Marine Corps was ordered to head back to Iraq to lend a hand. Its units would replace the Army in one of the toughest parts of the country, Al-Anbar Province in the western desert, a region dominated by the hostile towns of Fallujah and Ramadi. "Be polite, be professional, but have a plan to kill everybody you meet," was one of the rules to live by that Major General James Mattis gave his Marines. Mattis, the commander of the 1st Marine Division, began in the winter of 2003-4 to train his troops to operate differently from the Army when they returned to Iraq. Mattis is unusual in many ways, most notably in being one of the more intense intellectuals in the U.S. military. "He is one of the most urbane and polished men I have ever known," said retired Army Major General Robert Scales, himself a Ph.D. in history. He can quote Homer as well as Sun Tzu. When he deploys, Mattis always packs the meditations of Marcus Aurelius, the Roman who was both a Stoic philosopher and an emperor. "It allows me to distance myself from the here and now, and to discern the connection to the eternal verities of warfare," he explained. Mattis also objected to the Rumsfeld Pentagon's emphasis on net-centric warfare built around the movement of data. "Computers, by their nature, are isolating. They build walls. The nature of war is immutable. You need trust and connection." He dismissed the net-centric emphasis as a Marxian view. It ignores the spiritual. With his troops, he tended to be earthier. "The first time you blow someone away is not an insignificant event," he told 200 Marines at one session in Al-Asad. "That said, there are some assholes in the world that just need to be shot. There are hunters and there are victims. By your discipline, cunning, obedience, and alertness, you will decide if you are a hunter or a victim. It's really a hell of a lot of fun. You're going to have a blast out here." He finished in Patton-esque fashion, "I feel sorry for every son of a bitch that doesn't get to serve with you." Small, slight, and bespectacled, Mattis didn't fit the Hollywood image of the fire-breathing Marine commander. But retired Marine Colonel Gary Anderson, himself a widely respected officer, commented, "I think he's the finest combat leader we've produced since Korea." Just before Christmas 2003 in California, preparing to take his troops back into Iraq, where they would relieve the 82nd Airborne in Al-Anbar Province, he held a two-day meeting of his staff and commanders at Camp Pendleton to plan a different approach. Mattis's Marines would be culturally sensitive, the group decided. They wouldn't wear sunglasses when interacting with Iraqis, so there wouldn't be a barrier between them and the locals. They would learn a smattering of Arabic. They would even grow mustaches, so they would look more like the locals. Marine intelligence analysts wouldn't overreact to clerics' Friday sermons blasting the occupiers. "Religious leaders are normally going to be critical publicly of the coalition," said a summary of the meeting's major points. "Otherwise, they will be seen as weak by their followers." Also, Marine commanders were warned to brace for Fridays when Iraqis left the mosques fired up.